Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, clapping right on cue. Welcome to Doug Benson's I Love Movies, now coming to you every Friday. That's right. The new ones are going to start airing. I still call it airing, and that's not what they do. But you can download new ones starting every Friday, so my guests and I can discuss the new films that are opening that very day in each podcast. Of course, this is Easter week, so some of the films from this show came out on Wednesday and Thursday, but you get the idea. It's going to be fine. I'm obsessed with reading the comments, ILM, as I like to call it, gets on handheldcomedy.com, where you can get it. And since I can't actually respond on the site, because I would have to, like, sign up or some shit, I'll just do it here. So someone who goes by Notorious with a T on the end, maybe just a typo, was kind enough to point out another holiday-themed scary movie that I forgot to mention, New Year's Evil. Yeah, that's a good one. I forget the ones that I said before because I'm a stoner. And I also smoke a lot of pot. And Johnny Arthur, someone who goes by Johnny Arthur, one word, two names, in response to Nick Swartzen's no-show last week, he said, "That was a dick move from him, even if he was the only part of Click that didn't make me want to stab my eyes out with a toothpick. Except for Kate Beckinsale, who made me want to stab her vagina out with my penis. If you know what I mean." "I think I know exactly what you mean, President of the North American Society of Subtlety." Nicely played. Speaking of hallowed institutions, my guest today is one of the founders of this very theater we are sitting in and the UCB Theater in New York. Please welcome one of the four original members of the Upright Citizens Brigade, Matt Besser, everybody. Let's hear it for him. Give it up. Yeah.
I have a guitar with me.
Yeah, he has a guitar, so that's why you heard that little extra pump in the
I've
applause.
Always wanted to do that, so...
That's come out and cool. Just hold it up, and people are like, "Yeah,
yeah,
guitar!"
He's gonna play. Because I don't know.
You're
how
not
to play.
Gonna play though. You
no.
just yeah. You just brought
I
it
set
out.
Up a lot of expectations.
To get,
I like
to get that extra burst of enthusiasm.
Yeah,
you should have come out in a Patton Oswalt suit.
Oh yeah,
would have gone really
worked.
Crazy.
On my knees, I guess. It's true.
Like Dorf on golf.
Exactly, Dorf. Talk about good movies.
Those weren't movies.
They should have been. I always passed out from laughter early. I didn't know the short.
So Matt Besser,
yes.
What have you seen lately? Have you been to the motion pictures either on TV or on a DVD or a plane or?
I saw Pan's Labyrinth. It's hard to say.
You mean the attraction at Magic Mountain, or you mean the motion picture?
That's an attraction?
I sure hope it's going to be one. It's some weird-ass
so
amusement park. You walk through a labyrinth, and there's, like, fruit on a table, and if you eat some of it, a dude with hands on his eyes is going to fuck with you. That'd be an awesome ride.
I did eat a pot brownie, so maybe my opinions don't count, but it was a pretty cool movie, especially how it lures you in, like, oh, it's kind of a kid fantasy, and oh, there's a fairy, and then all of a sudden, bam, shot to the head, fascist, point-blank range. Back to little girl.
Yeah, I still can't get past the knife in the mouth sequence.
Oh, yeah, there was so much rough violence.
Really rough. And, like, also, once you've got a knife in somebody's mouth, why did she then pull it sideways? You know what I mean? Like, that just cuts his face, you know? Like
that, because that's the, you know, his whole thing was about making, taking dignity away from people, and I think that kind of took it away from him. That's what I
just made him look ugly.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really that great looking to begin with, was he?
No, but he was confident, and that brings a lot of...
He's kind of Mexican looking,
that turns on the chicks, apparently. Yeah, the mother's like, you don't understand. It's like, come on, Mom, you're hooking up with a fascist so we can get some chocolates and stockings, basically. Right?
Hey, you know, you saw it with a pot brownie, so...
Yeah.
You have a deeper understanding.
I saw Take the Lead this week. I know that's
why?
Not in the theaters. Why? Well,
on HBO?
I actually burned it on a DVD and took it to my trailer where I was working. So that shows a whole other level of commitment of watching it, I think.
Why did you get so fired up about Take the Lead? That's Antonio Banderas?
Yeah,
teaching kids how to be sexy?
Teaching ghetto kids how to ballroom dance. They're like, no way, man.
I bet he convinces them that it's pretty cool eventually.
Pretty cool. Well, only if they can find a way to put their hip-hop beat...
Do it their way.
...in Lena Horne songs,
That's
basically.
How you trick people to do things for you. Have them think they're doing it their way.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You've got them on your highway.
Yes. I was not high for this one, though. I was working. But I love dance movies, basically. I've seen every dance movie. You can't name a dance movie that I have not seen. Except for Stomp the Ground, because that just came out.
Stomp the Ground, that's
stomp
a good one.
Stomp the
yard.
Dirt. Stomp the yard. No, I'm talking about the parody of it that's already...
That'd be a great
stomp
parody.
Stomp that ass.
Stomp the ground. We're really showing Stomp the Yard a thing or two. Changed it to ground. It's a pretty funny parody. That's cool.
Yeah, I saw it.
All right, well, this has been a...
Any questions about dance movies? I'll take them.
Oh, yeah, I was going to try to think of one.
And
see if you've seen it.
You. The plot.
Now, but that doesn't... Honey? Does that flap over into cheerleader movies?
Like Bring It On? They are of the... That's a subgenre, I think, or Drumline is sort of
Stick It.
That. Is that... That's the new one, yeah, with Jim...
You seen that yet?
I have not seen
it. It's almost got
see
dancing
in the theater.
In it. Yeah, yeah, you Netflix it or whatever.
Yeah, I won't go full fairy on seeing dance movies in the theater. I have to watch it by myself. I actually cry at the end. And I
think you do go full fairy when you're watching dance movies, but that's cool.
Not in front of people. You know, I will wear panties in front of my own mirror, but not in public. But I actually embarrassed myself.
I thought you meant full price when you said full fairy, and that I was being clever and switching it over to a gay fairy.
No, I meant that.
When you said,
fairy.
I don't see it in the theater, I don't go full fairy, I thought that mean you don't pay full price to see that shit. You meant you don't go out in public to see that shit.
I like
shit.
To turn things into slang by adding a Y at the end. I'm not going to use this Mikey tonight. I love this audience seating tonight, boy.
Well, there's some new movies that are out in theaters because, like I said, it's Easter week, and so some stuff came out already.
Can I say something about Blades of Glory? That's
please
come out,
say something
right?
about
that's,
it.
Is that on the
out.
List?
It's out. I just saw it last night.
Okay. Did
so
you like
say
it?
Something about it. I loved it.
Look at your eyes.
I think.
I feel that Will Ferrell, I mean, he's just pretty funny no matter what he does,
exactly.
Right? Like in that Napoleon Dynamite guy, he was Napoleon Dynamite on Ice, right?
Right.
That must have been funny.
So you haven't
Will
seen
were
it?
Funny. I haven't. No, I went. This is the thing. I went to see the premiere you know, I'm not bragging either. I've only seen like six premieres. And
but the guitar goes with him at every one.
If you're not a star, do not go to premiere. If you're not in the movie, there's no reason to go to premiere.
Because you feel insanely unspecial?
Oh, God. You feel like the biggest piece of shit. I felt like I was trying to con my way in the whole time. You go up to this table, you know, will call, and I'm like, a Matt Besser, and they're looking at me like, mm-hmm, sure. You know, you don't know Amy Poehler. That's bullshit. And they finally find me, and I'm
this
like...
This table is for Will Ferrell and Will Arnett. Yeah. That's why it's called Will Call. So then...
Oh!
So then they just give you a hard time, so you left?
No. I got my ticket. I'm with my girlfriend, and I look in. There's only one ticket. I'm like, oh, fucking great. So I go back, and I'm like... You know, I got a plus one.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, for that, you got to go talk to that guy in the white shirt. You know, and I'm getting this other line. And people, meanwhile, are going, move on. You can't stand here. You got, you know, they're yelling at people. Yeah. And I get there. I finally get up to this guy. And he's like, huh, let me see. And this woman comes up and goes, wait a minute, you're Matt Besser? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking she's going to go, I got this taken care
somewhere.
Of. Amy Poehler just called me. No problem. And she's like, well, I just got a call from a publicist. I'm looking at Danielle, my girlfriend, like, yeah, this is going to be no problem. And the publicist says, you definitely don't have a plus one. I'm like, what? You're getting calls telling you I don't have things?
There's a list of people that aren't going to come in.
You know, meanwhile, you know, I know Kate Flannery in The Office, and she's coming in with the whole office crowd with the red carpet. And, you know, people go, yeah, Kate. I'm like, see, I can't even get in here through the back door.
You should have come with your whole Crossballs gang.
Yeah, people really recognize that.
You know what I mean? If you were like
that.
A posse of Crossballs people, then they might have been like, cut right this way.
Yeah, you're right.
You are right about the premieres, though. It is kind of a funky thing, which has kind of led to now, even when you're attending a premiere, it's got to be a star-studded movie. Because if it's just a movie with one or two famous leads and like one of them doesn't come because he's Nicolas Cage and he's crazy,
right.
Then you're like, then you're just sitting there looking around and there's these just random celebrities that are... big enough to get invited, but low enough to say okay and
right.
come in and just
it's like Ryan
like if
Seacrest
I'd have been there, I'd have been like, "Hey, Besser's here. That's cool." But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Ryan Seacrest. I don't think he goes to anything because he's very busy.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Can't turn on something without hearing.
But you're
his
saying
voice.
There's celebrities that aren't necessarily in the movie; they're just recognizable.
They're just there. They're just red carpet people.
Yeah.
You know, the girls that wear the crazy dresses, so they get in Fashion Police, in Us Weekly. And, you know, and then people that are actually in the movie. So, like, that's how I decide if I want to go to a premiere. So it's got a lot of cool people in it. Then
and the people across
there.
The street always amaze me. It's, like, packed with people. Going,
that
wow!
should be a Wes, that's like a Wes Craven movie, The People Across the Street.
The People Across the Street. What will they yell? What's on their placards?
Why are they staying across the street? They're so well behaved. Why don't they break free?
What if the barriers came down? This
regular
summer.
People got into a premiere. Holy shit.
Oh, speaking of trailers, though, when does Across the Universe come out? Did
oh,
you see
I haven't
that?
Seen the trailer for that yet. It's like
oh
a weird-ass musical. It's all Beatles songs.
Yeah, right? But it took me a while to figure that out because I hadn't heard about it when I saw the trailer. And so... a Beatles song, you know, opens up the trailer, obviously, and I'm like, oh, this is just the Beatles song that's scoring the trailer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they cut to the, you know, some dialogue, and then someone's like, hey, Jude, you know, here comes the sun, you don't go talk to that fool on the hill, or something, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? There's another Beatles song.
Oh, Mr. Mustard.
Someone let a hole in the sky where the sun gets in.
They really, all the dialogue is just dropping lyrics and titles of Beatles songs?
The lead is Jude, I guess, you know? He's Eleanor Rigby or something, I don't know.
They tried that once already with that Sergeant Pepper's Bee Gees thing.
Was George Burns.
That had Danny in it.
Fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
Don't sing too much, we don't want to have to pay for it.
Okay.
okay.
No, fuck it, beat it. Let's... sing the most expensive
song. Yeah,
that'd
be weird.
Ever.
They just randomly throw in a Michael Jackson song.
Just completely owns
and
all the Beatles
always
songs.
Beatles
so he
stuff.
Can do
and
that.
Then, yeah, that's
he can declare his own songs Beatles songs. Now I'm Beat It is a Beatles song.
Henceforth and forever.
I love you, Heather Mills. You're my new wife.
You keep showing them that you have a leg up on the competition. Ugh, got a groan in the audience on that one, so I know it's time to move on. Let me ask you about... this is the part of the show where I talk about movies the guest has been in and will be in.
This will be a short
section. Because you're working on a... There's a few here. But the first thing I want to talk about is you're currently shooting a movie called Walk Hard.
Yes, that's why I have my guitar with me.
It's a parody of biopics like Walk the Line and...
Ray.
Was there everyone with the word hard in it, in the title? Like it took two and smashed them together?
That would have been good. But I can't think of...
Walk one. Ray would have been not a great title. Ray Hard, that wouldn't work.
Anything with hard's pretty funny. But this is a funny... It is funny. I'm not just saying that because I'm in
it. There's a sticker for it on the back of your guitar.
They gave me this guitar.
Oh, wow.
The production. But I play the guitarist in Dewey Cox's band, which is John C. Reilly. He's the lead. And that dude can sing, man.
Yeah, he's good.
That dude
Mr.
can sing.
Mr. Cellophane in that Chicago movie.
Yeah, not just can he sing, but he can do... You know, he can sing like in different ways. Like he nails a Johnny Cash song, then he does a Roy Orbison kind of song, he does a Bob Dylan song. You know, he nails each style just in both a funny way, but also you're like, hey, this, you know what, this is a pretty good
it's
song.
It's like character actor singing.
He can do it.
He's an amazing actor. I love that guy. Have you smoked pot with him yet?
I have not. I always save that till the end, or they might think I'm high during the production if they know how good I am at smoking pot.
Right.
Yeah, I wait.
No, that's smart.
Yeah.
What about him, you think?
I don't think he could get high. He has so much to do during this. I don't think he is.
Is it sort of in the style of like a Talladega Nights or Anchorman where like people do alternate takes of everything like they do different
versions of
the jokes?
Oh, the way we actually film it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually did a scene today where... Because I don't have that many lines in the movie when it comes down to it. I'm doing a lot of, Dewey, you got to go on. It's your turn to go on, you know. I got a lot of those kind of lines. But this was a good scene where there was jokes and back and forth. And that's what we did. You do what's written first, and then you do more takes where you improvise. And he can go, man. I mean, he's not an official improviser, I guess. But... he did a scene with John Michael Higgins. You know that guy from... He did a lot
of
Christopher
Guest.
Yeah,
he's great in all those Christopher Guest movies.
They just did like a scene where they improvised. Yeah, they improvised for like 10 minutes one time straight. And I'm like, all that could be in the movie. But that's the shame with those type movies like Talladega Nights. I was in Talladega Nights and Anchorman, as a matter of fact, on the editing room floor is where you might have seen me if you were an editor of that movie, but otherwise you didn't see
Brooms,
me.
Love your work.
Yeah, exactly. But because those movies, the first draft are usually like, no kidding, 3.5 hours long, and it's funny. And that's why DVDs are good, I guess, with these kind of movies.
Yeah, you get like every alternate line that Will Ferrell said. You don't get to see all the gold that, like, you know, all
that
the supporting players came up with.
Like me.
Yeah, all you guys. Like, I was like, I thought McBrayer was, like, sadly underutilized in Talladega Nights, but at least he was in it. Like, he did, you know, he did better than you.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, when the script is 90 pages long and you improvise, I mean, something's got to get cut.
Yeah, and it's got to be, like, on point and on story or on the star.
Well, that's the problem, and that's why I almost maybe like Anchorman better than Talladega Nights, because I don't give a shit. Can I curse? I don't give a crap about the story, usually, frankly.
You don't give a shit crap.
Shit, I'll say it. I don't give a shit about the story. Usually, I'd much rather them...
Well, the story is always such a phony excuse for a story. You know,
comedies, always.
Yeah, like, are they going to win the big competition?
Yeah, it's a competition.
You know? Who gives a shit? Oh, and there's an evil character that's going to try and stop them.
There's a love interest, and we know. And you just know, and it's like, all right, I just want them to go, okay, next.
All jokes.
Let's just get into the jokes now.
But I have to say, that was my reaction to Blades of Glory, is it's like, it's 86 minutes long, and there is a story, but it's like... 90% jokes and 10% Craig T. Nelson, who I'm not saying he's not funny, but he commits to a character that doesn't get to say anything funny, but has to always be like, okay, you guys, you're going to be the first two male skaters together, and now we're going to go practice. Like, he's always the one pointing out where the story is headed and what's about to happen. and then Will Ferrell could just say something retarded.
Yeah,
and John Heder could make that face.
Grease and Walk Hard to me.
And also, fucking figure skating is so much funnier than cars going around a track. You know what I mean? Like, he said funny things in the car, but a car wiping out and all that, there wasn't that much funny things you can do with the actual act of racing a car.
Mm.
But the act of skating, they're doing so many silly things the whole time that it just looks funny that they're both so into skating. They like the faces that they're making, and the effect of morphing them onto real skaters looks awesome. And there's like one really violent scene in the movie. It's good. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
So you did like it.
Until I think about it for a while. And then I'll be like everybody else. Like, those movies, they don't even try. They just fuck around all day and then call it a movie. But I like this one a lot. This is my favorite of the Will Ferrell goofy movies so far. But also, I just saw it yesterday, you know.
Really? Okay. Okay.
But I was tickled by it. Like, I was really, like, giggling the whole time. And I felt John Heder, since Napoleon Dynamite, has given us nothing. There's no other shades to that.
He's given us Napoleon Dynamite.
He's just doing the same thing, just making that face. But in this movie, I really liked it because it's a perfect role for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like Will, it's kind of fun that Will Ferrell has a character that's always around. So he gets to be, he's kind of the funnier of the two, but the other one's making a stupid face.
Right.
You know, so they complement each other nicely. Neither one of those characters could probably be the sole character of the movie. You know?
Oh, really?
And Will and Amy are really funny.
Yeah. I saw a clip.
And lots of other people, you know, roll in and say something funny and then leave. And, it's pretty good.
I wish I could kind of like it more.
You've really talked me off of it.
Really? I haven't said anything because of...
It's so funny when you first asked me. That's such a comedian trap. Like, have you seen Blades of Glory yet? Yeah, it was great. Oh, really? I thought it was fucking stupid. You know, I mean, you always get like fall into those traps of like you don't know which way they're thinking about it when they
ask
you about it.
How many comedy movies per year do you think you really like in the last five years?
This one might be the one. For me, this year,
like one
I might
year?
Have fucking blown it, and there might be something funnier later in the year.
What was your favorite last year? I'm sure this was another podcast. Mine was Idiocracy. I loved that movie.
I liked Idiocracy. So I finally caught up with it on a plane, and I liked it a lot. I liked the commitment to the premise,
uh-huh.
But I also thought that I got a little tired of them just all being dumb all the time.
Really?
That's my biggest gripe with some of these comedies that feature all the guys that are popular comics now is that every character's stupid. You know,
yeah.
So it's like that's what I like about the American version of The Office,
mm-hmm.
is it's kind of evolved into, in a strange way, Carell is the least stupid and weird next to, you know, Pam and Jim. Like, everyone else is such an oddball character that he's kind of like become a little less of a buffoon. Like, he's not the major buffoon that Ricky Gervais was.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a buffoon that's actually kind of able to work with all these people. And, you know, like he's smarter than other characters at moments.
Whereas
Ricky Gervais is always, always the fucking dumbest guy in the room doing the dumbest thing. You know, he never has a moment of clarity where Ed Helms, his character seems a lot dumber than Carell's character. So it's fun to see that, you know.
I agree about the dumb movies. It's like, it seems like everything's about being dumb. That's more like a 10-year trend.
Yeah, no, it's been going a while, and it's just like that every character's stupid.
I thought Idiocracy was a comment on that, too, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it totally was. It was, but it's still like, I started to feel Luke Wilson's frustration. That it's like, I can't fucking talk to these people are so ridiculously stupid. It's kind of like frustrating to know that our lives are kind of like that right now. You know, that it's gotten to a point where people don't know what the hell you're talking about half the time.
I didn't even like him much up until that movie, actually.
It turned you around on Luke Wilson?
It did.
Speaking of people who appear in Blades of Glory, he shows up. And the audience is like, ah! Like, they get all excited when he shows up, you know? Like, well, no shit. He was probably on the set every day hanging out. And they're like, put this blazer on and be a sex guidance counselor. I think we're out of time, man. This has gone out of control. I wanted to ask you about Girls Gone. Is that like a cross between Girls Gone Wild and Without a Trace?
You know what? Yeah, that's a pretty good description of it.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
That sounds good to me. As long as you get enough of the wild girl before she, you know, disappears.
If it starts off with her gone,
then that's what I hate, too, is these R-rated movies with hardly any nudity.
Oh, there was a big nude scene in the walk hard scene. I was in an orgy scene in walk hard.
See, now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
But they might push out and go for the PG-13.
I know. We did different takes. It was funny. It was like, all right, this is the underwear take. Now this is the topless take. And I was like, oh, topless take. You know, that's going to be it. Fucking
and they're like,
pantyless
leave your shirt on,
take. Even I was like, whoa. What's going on here?
Dildo take.
Donkey take. They,
was that a donkey?
You know what? There was a giraffe. Oh, that was my donkey. That was the man in a donkey costume.
Oh, shit. So that's going to... When's that coming out?
Well, in our portrayal of the 50s orgy, women shave it all off.
Oh, they're all totally Brazilian?
Yeah, a lot of them.
In the 50s?
Yeah, the audience just got
really
uncomfortable with
that. It was an unknown trend.
Sorry, ladies.
I think they're more uncomfortable with the 50s than being
completely
shaved.
Don't talk about the
50s. It's like, what do we know about that? Long before our time. I always love that when people are like, you say, mention a movie to somebody. Did you ever see this? Oh, that came out before I was born.
You can't see it.
Can't.
Off limits.
No good to you.
Also, like, speaking of idiots, but, you know. is that in black and white? Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like black and white.
I don't want to watch Schindler's List. Wait.
There's something red.
Yeah.
I like it kind of.
Look at that flame. Thank God that little girl's got a colored coat on. I was really finding this bleak. Oh, Steven, you found some hope. Colored coats on children.
That was the Jews' problem. Not enough color.
God, that's just so drab with everything's
pessimistic.
So gray. Did the sun ever come out there? I didn't see it once in that movie.
With their attitude, no.
My favorite Matt Besser role was in Junebug.
Really?
You played, well, not only did I like your work, but I enjoyed reading the end credits because you played Scout Who Goes In. And Jerry Minor is listed in the credit as Scout Who Stays Outside. I love when they describe the characters that way, but in your case, it's practically like that's all you do in the scene is you just say, I'm not going in. I mean, you say, I'm going in, and Jerry says, I'm going to stay out here. And then you go in, and Jerry doesn't.
And we improvised. That was a case of Phil Morris did that, who also directed first season of UCB. And he had us improvise for a whole day. We're driving around in the car, doing all these funny improv. And I was like, this doesn't have much to do with the plot, all this stuff we're saying. This isn't going to be in the movie.
Amy Adams isn't in the car with us.
No. That's the trick to being in the movie, is never letting go of the lead character in your scene.
So, like, handcuffs, being cuffed to the lead character would be good.
Yes.
That worked for, what's his name, Mos Def in that Bruce Willis movie. What was it called, 13 Blocks?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. That was on HBO the other day, and it's not a bad movie, but I just can't get past Mos Def's choice that he makes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, he's got like a silly voice. It sounds like a cartoon character. And after a while, you're supposed to... He's supposed to be three-dimensional, you know, he's supposed to be like a real human being, but and real human beings do talk that way, but in this case, it just seemed too weird for that.
That's
that
defense. That's the defense for every character I've ever done in a sketch is, there's a guy in New York in Washington
really
Square
like
who talks like this.
But then it's somehow unbelievable that someone talks like that. You got to see the genuine
but
guy.
But then there's Chris Tucker, you know.
You hear the words coming out of my mouth!
You're like... All right, that's pretty funny. I don't mind that.
I think most people would agree that Chris Tucker's portions of the movie The Fifth Element is the single most grating thing that's ever happened in a motion picture. Strong choice. A choice was made there by the director and by Chris Tucker, and it's a total misfire. Totally ruins what could have been just okay. So we normally play the Leonard Maltin game at the end, but we've run long on time because this has actually been really, really fun talking to you. I mean, not that it's not fun talking to the other guests and then we get to the game, but it just didn't work out this time.
I wouldn't have done well anyway.
You don't think so?
I'm one of those fans that, like, for instance, I'm really into sci-fi, like whatever, Star Trek or whatever. But, like, people say, yeah, don't you like Patrick Stewart? And I'm like, who's that? Like, I never care. I've never cared who the actors are.
Right.
It's like, you know, that's the captain. That's Captain Picard. I don't care that, you know, you like Michael Dorn. Who's that? I like Worf, you know. It breaks the reality for me to know that there are actors involved. I think of sci-fi as a documentary of the future, basically. That's all I need to know it as. It's like...
Maybe Susie Park is in Battlestar Galactica? Is that her name?
Is that the
Starbuck?
I remember
her name because she's cute. The
is
cute
that Starbuck
Asian girl.
Or the six?
It's something Park.
Oh, she's a boomer.
My guess next week will know.
See, I love Battlestar, but I don't know any of those actors' names.
The one lady who played, she was in Dances with Wolves as lady who has orgasms with beauty shop.
Number three.
Beauty shop feathered hair she had. Catherine McCormick or something like that? I can't remember. O'Donnell.
Can't help
wow,
that.
It's like we're playing Leonard Maltin without even picking up the book.
Sorry.
Just start trying to name people that are
like
in
if
things.
You're gonna, if I'm on again, if you're going to do it, you should do a really obvious movie and have fun with how could it possibly be that I can't get it.
All right, let me try one. Burgess Meredith. Burt Young.
Okay, Batman.
No, Talia Shire.
It's not Batman?
Sylvester Stallone.
Rocky, okay.
Yay!
Okay. See you next
time. Matt Messer, everybody. That was fun.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
Try that next time. Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.